Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today.
Well, good morning, radio friends, and it is time once again for another Redemption Time broadcast. This is Brother Larry Knowles, and I do so appreciate each one of you that's taking time this morning to join me here on this broadcast. I pray that you have been safe and were able to stay warm through this awful weather we're having, and trust it'll soon be past. I think maybe today we'll get above freezing again. And hopefully days ahead will be better. And we do know that no matter how bad the storm gets, there's always a day a-coming. And even though today, if the clouds may be overcast and you can't see it, the sun's still shining up there in one day. Sometime, once sooner or later, it's going to come through, just like the Lord Jesus Christ does after a crisis, during a crisis. So we do thank you for being here this morning. I'm going to give you my church announcements. They're at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle, located on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville. Brother Rick Smeltzer is our pastor, and we do invite you to come and be with us in any of our services. We start our Sunday school at 9:45 on Sunday morning. Morning worship on Sunday is at 10:45. Evening worship on Sunday is at 6. And then evening worship on Wednesday is at 7. We do invite you to come and be part of these. We have some really good times there with the Lord, and we trust that you'll be there with us. And I know that if you would, the Lord would bless you. Oh, well, now we're going to have a song, and then I'll be back and continue today's message and the judgments that we're looking at in the Bible.
Years old, and dear. gentle breeze is blowing. I want us to be together in heaven. You may be a millionaire, wearing clothes beyond compare. You may have the best that money can buy. But if the blood is not applied, then in hell you'll lift your eyes. And I want us to be together.
That was Merlin Williamson and the group His By Grace. The song is I Want to Be Together With You in Heaven. Well, the main reason that this broadcast is on the air every week is because I want to be in heaven with some folks that are listening. And I trust that if you are listening, that you are ready to go. And if you're not, I pray that the Lord will use this broadcast to get you ready to go. Don't know who listens. Would not have an idea. I may run across people every day. I may meet people in stores, on the streets, on the sidewalks, wherever, that listen to the broadcast, and I'll never know. I do know a few that have told me that they listen, so I'd know them. But what I'd love to do is get to heaven. I'd like to find some folks that went to heaven because the gospel that I sent out over this broadcast. Right now I'm in a series kind of educational, edifying for the saints, looking at these judgments. But the fact remains that even though these judgments relate to a certain group of people, we do know that everybody, in their own time and in their own way, will stand in judgment in the eternity. In this age of grace, there are two ways we can stand. One, if we're saved, we can stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and I'll be looking into that a little deeper a little later on a different part of this. Or if we do not get saved, then we will stand before the great white throne judgment, and there we will bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, but it'll be too late. And even though we do that, one would still be cast into the lake of fire. Friend, there's only two ways to go. I really would love to be together with you in heaven. I want you to know I love you. Jesus loves you. Our church loves you. And I trust that that love will somehow come through on this broadcast, envelop you in its arms, and help you to know that I'm telling you about a Savior that cares for your soul. Now we get into today's message as we are continuing our look at the judgment of the Gentiles, or the nations, as the Bible calls it. We did begin this a couple of weeks ago, and got a couple of pieces of it behind us, and now we're going to continue this morning as we continue to look at this subject. Well, we're currently looking at the judgment of the nations, or as that word in the Greek means, Gentiles. Taking our reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, and just to refresh those verses, we won't read the whole thing, but verses 31 and 32 says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left." And then we go on a little further and we find out that there's another group in there called his brethren. So we looked at what these three groups are, and we first saw that the brethren, of course, is the nation of Israel. And he did choose Israel a long time ago, and he has not changed his mind, although for now they are in darkness. They have been blinded by their own sin, and it'll stay that way until God decides to fix it. And that's a whole different one. I'm working on that one now. That's the judgment of Israel. But these are hard times. And so the brethren, we're going to need help. These are people who in the tribulation have listened to the 144,000 witnesses that God has set up. And they've preached the everlasting gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. And the folks that have followed them are going mark of the beast. They're not going to fall down and worship him as God. And as a result, without the mark of the beast, they will not be allowed to buy or sell. So they're going to be in dire straits, and they're going to be in a bad situation. And so people have an opportunity to help them. So we said that the sheep then are the people who help them. And these are the ones who are sympathetic towards them and will maybe risk their own lives by aiding and helping them. So then we noticed, why would they do that? Well, we do know that it is not for reward. In that same chapter, in verses 37 through 39, it says, "Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink, or saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." So there's a principle there. These folks did not do anything for these people for reward's sake, because excuse me, in reality, they did not know that they were doing something. Because they said, "Well, Lord, when did we see you needing in need and help you?" And he said, "Well, if you did it to one of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." So I want you to think about, these are people just taking the opportunity to do good when the opportunity arose. Sometimes we miss our opportunities in this world. I have missed several. I have given a great deal of thought to something that happened to me one time, two occurrences in my life. I read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 1, says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." So I wonder sometimes if God gives us some opportunities that we do not recognize. I would like to share a couple of things with you. Sometime back, I was making a trip to Alabama to visit my children that live down there, and had started back home. And for whatever the reason, I did not fill up my tank in Alabama before I left. So coming up Interstate 85, I stopped at Newnan, Georgia, for something, food or gas or something. And as I came out of that food station to get in my car, I was approached by a young lady who said, asked for some money. And I kind of make it a point not to do any money because most of the time these people are looking for money so that they can buy drugs. So I just refused her, and then I thought, well, I turned around to get in the car, and then I thought, well, let me ask her if she's hungry. If she's hungry, I'll buy her some food. If she needs gas, I'll buy her some gas. I'm just not going to give her cash. But when I turned around, she was gone. I looked around both sides of the station. I looked back in the station. I looked around the pumps. I did not see this good lady anywhere. And so I went on my way. And ever since then, I've had a nagging feeling that I missed an opportunity. And I wonder if God had put her in my path. Maybe a real person that he was using as an angel unawares, just someone I didn't know. And I think I missed a real opportunity there by answering too hastily. And then another incident where we talk about angels unawares. December 27th, 2024, my daughter was involved in a very serious car accident. Happened just after dark. Took me a little while to get there. And when I got there, they told me that she was in front of a store there on the side of the road where the accident happened. And I went up there, and she said that she was fine, and there was a lady standing there with her. And she said, my daughter told me, said she's been here with me ever since the accident. She wouldn't leave until someone got here. So, of course, I thanked her very much, and we were standing around there talking and waiting for the officers to get through and so we could go. And turned around, that lady had gotten in her car and left. Well, I wanted to do something special for her since she did go out of her way to be a blessing and a help to my daughter. So when I got the accident report, it had her name and address. So I got a thank you card and sent it to that address. And when it came back, it said that this person is not here. And trying to search on that name to see if I could find her, I could not find it. Now, I don't know if this was actually an angel or if it was somebody that God just put in our way to be there to help someone that needed it when the opportunity arose. So let me tell you, friend, there are opportunities that we can do things. And maybe we do not understand that what we're doing. And it may not always be to help God's people. There are many instances where we are given opportunities to help, and God opens doors for us that we can help and be a witness to those who are not God's children. But here in our passage, these people are being commended, and they're going to be rewarded because they did something for someone who was in need without expecting or even understanding that there was something deeper than just the opportunity to show kindness. These people are in great need. Their lives will be in desperate situations. And here, these people are willing to take a chance of their own safety and their own well-being to help them. And in so doing, they will invoke a commendation from the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they're going to say, well, we don't quite understand when we did this, Lord. When did we do something for you, just as I read to you just now? When did we give you food? When did we give you drink? When did we come to see you when you were sick and in prison? And then he says, if you've done it to my brethren, you've done it to me. Matthew chapter 10, the Lord sent his disciples out alone, and they went out and they traveled around preaching. And Jesus told them in chapter 10, verse 40, he said, "He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." I want you to see the pattern here. Jesus said, "I'm sending you out with the message. If people reject you, it's not you they're rejecting, it's the message. But if they reject your message, they're rejecting me. And if they reject me, they're rejecting him that sent me, which was God the Father." So I want you to see the steps there, friend. You may not accept me as a person. You don't have to. No reason you should or shouldn't that I'm aware of. You might reject everything I'm trying to do on this broadcast, but if you do, you're not actually rejecting me because you don't know me. The only thing you know about me is the message I bring, and if you reject that, you're rejecting Jesus. You're rejecting God. And in the hour when it's time for judgment, you will not have anybody to speak up for you. I had to go to court one time. Won't go into any details. Had a little case pending there, and the other party decided to be their own lawyer. It was a disaster. And so what I learned from that is that if I ever need to go to court, no matter how smart I think I am, get me somebody to stand in my corner that knows what's going on. And friend, when I stand before God someday, I want to be sure that Jesus Christ, the Savior, is standing in my corner. And when God says, "Why should you be allowed to come into heaven?" Oh, I don't know that it'll work that way. I think when you die, you go. But hypothetically, let's think about if that did happen. Why are you here? Why do you think you can get into heaven? And I can only say, I am not worthy. I have nothing to offer. But you said that if I trusted your Son, that I could be saved and I could come to heaven. I want Jesus in my corner when that time comes. Just like I wouldn't go to court without a lawyer. I don't want to go into death without an advocate. I don't want to live in this life trying to live a life for God without an advocate, someone to speak up for me when I make mistakes. And when I do wrong and when I sin. And so, if they received the message, they received Jesus. If they received Jesus, they received the Father. And likewise, if you back that up the other way, rejection would work the same way. Reject the message, reject Jesus, and reject God. I know the world today has a kind of a twisted view of God, and they've been told that God would never send anyone to hell, and that is actually true. If we go to hell, we go on our own. We go against all of the provisions God's made to keep us out. That being the sacrifice of His Son, paid the sin debt. The getting the message out through people like me and others. Work of the Holy Ghost that works in people's hearts and brings them to an understanding of their sin. If we reject all of that, then certainly, what's left? Nothing but judgment. So what we find is there's a principle that if you stand by the message, if you stand by the Lord, He'll stand by you. Because He said if you did it to the least of them, you did it unto Him. So, think about that, friend. The message is God loves you. The message is He sent His Son to die for you, which He did there on the cross of Calvary. Was buried, and on the third day was resurrected. And because of that, He has life to offer anyone who's willing to take it. Can't buy it, can't earn it, can't get worthy of it. You can only receive it as what it is, a gift from God. So don't reject, friend. So then a couple of interesting Bible truths in this. Looked at Matthew chapter 25, just back for a minute. Verses 42 through 45. They had asked Him. He said, I was hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer Him, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry and thirsty or a stranger, naked or cry? Or sick, or in the prison, and did not minister unto you. Then shall He answer them, Verily I say unto you, as much as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And it says, And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, if you go back, you say, in verse number 34, it said, Then said the king unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The righteous was given a reward that was prepared for them. He said, It's been prepared for you. But if you look at the rejected ones, verse number 41 says, Then shall ye say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, the reward was prepared for those that He's talking to. But the damnation, the curse, was for the devil and his angels. And friend, if you go to heaven, excuse me, if you go to heaven, you'll go by Jesus. But if you go to hell, you're going as an intruder. Hell wasn't made for man to go there. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. But yet, because of man's rebellion and man's sin, his hard neck, his hardness of heart, and refusal to listen to the message of God, you go as an intruder. Now, I don't know if you've ever been an intruder in anything or not. It's a very embarrassing situation. I won't go into too many details, but one time years ago, I became acquainted with a very sweet elderly couple. Gentleman had cancer, and they were selling his truck, and I ended up buying his truck. Struck up a friendship with him. And I went back to visit him a couple of times up until he passed away. And then we went once to, just my wife and I, to visit her, just to tell her how sorry we were. And she would have nothing to do, but we had to go with her for lunch. Her son was a doctor. She had gotten so attached to us, and we had to her, that she wanted us to meet her son. So after we had lunch, nothing would do her but to go by his office. And she just walked right past the receptionist, took us right in, and found the doctor and introduced us. And that was a nice gesture, I understand that, but it was very obvious. We had intruded in something where we had no business. And so I, made a few comments and, made my excuse. We got to go. Very embarrassing situation. Now, listen, you go into hell as an intruder, it's going to be worse than embarrassing. It's going to be pure torment. And friend, I've given you the message this morning. I've told you that the Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried and was resurrected. Today he offers himself to you for salvation. The message is, come today, come to me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, friend, you're going to do one of two things with this message. You're going to either receive it or you're going to reject it. If you receive it, you need to respond to it. Ask the Lord to save you before it is too late. Or you can reject it. And one day, you will be rejected by the one who the message is about. Now, may God bless you. Till the next one.